Hello and welcome to the Tantra for Gay Men podcast, hosted by Jason and Ingo Tantra. Here we're exploring spirituality and personal growth through the practice of Tantra, the body, energy and sex. Hello beautiful Ingo.
Hello Jason.
Guess what?
We are in for another podcast.
No. I was going to say we are episode 23. Which feels like episode 23.
That's almost a year, isn't
it? We are just two or three more podcasts from our first year anniversary of doing our podcast.
Oh, wow. It's been quite a long... Sometimes a slog, sometimes joys. It's been a journey, hasn't it?
It's been a journey. And we have recorded our podcast... in some amazing countries all around the world. We'll soon be returning to our beloved Thailand.
Until now we are in Spain, which is not too bad either.
Yeah, and then we also did some in Bali. Did we record one in India as well, at the Dalai Lama's place?
Yes, definitely. We recorded in Thailand, India, Bali, Taiwan as well, did we not?
No, but we did do the Yoni Temple in Glastonbury.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
We have, I tell you, this is an international podcast. Dear listeners, this is an international podcast. And today's topic number 23, is talking about the bliss journey. And it's talking about it in relation, so I'm going to read it. The bliss journey, sacred sexuality and inner awakening. The bliss journey, sacred sexuality and inner awakening.
And all of this in relation to Tantra, which is our practice.
And in 45 minutes, we're going to talk about
it. So would you like to start?
Oh, well, yes, but I just wanted to check that you didn't want to. Because I had some thoughts about it as I was
I've got some thoughts as well, but why don't you start?
We didn't, I just said Sunshine Blue. Have we talked about him in the podcast? I'm not sure.
I don't think so.
He is our beloved, we're enchanted with Sunshine Blue, our Staffordshire Bull Terrier. So I was out on his walk today thinking about bliss and also thinking about it in relation to sacred sexuality or just sex. And also, I loved the idea of it as a inner journey, like a awakening journey. And so for me, when I think about this, it's actually breaking it down into three very separate things. And the first thing that occurs to me, is, and this one's a bit of a one to get your head round. It's like the natural state is bliss. Mm-hmm. And what do I mean by that? Well, say you were doing the inner journey, so say you were doing meditation. I know, in my meditation practice, that after a certain amount of time, or it's not even time, it's when I have fully surrendered myself, there's this natural state of bliss that arises that feels like this is the natural state of everything.
Yes, and let me frame this from a tantric perspective.
Okay.
So our practice and what we are talking about here in this podcast is sexual neo-tantra. That means we start with practices such as multi-orgasmic practices, things like that. So we are basically starting to awaken energy in our body and letting that energy work through our body. That's basically what we do when we, for example, train in multiple orgasms, okay?
Yes.
And that then leads to something. And here it starts to take us onto what you're just referring to as this inner journey, right? And that's where it gets interesting.
But before we talk about the sex bit, I wanted to talk about the bliss bit.
Yes.
So yeah, before we get into the sexual parts, because that is in itself a massive exploration, what I wanted to do was just to sit with the idea about bliss from a spiritual perspective, and why would you want to be trying to, this is where the mistake, people think that bliss is an attainment, you attain bliss. Mm-hmm. And for me, the natural state is bliss, And actually what it requires is a letting go into, it already exists, it's just we can't see it on a day to day. Our minds are super busy. We're not living in a embodied way. And so people then living in a mind state, living in a non-embodied state, actually believe that's normal. And for when they're doing a spiritual practice, and we'll talk about Tantra in a moment, but say when they're doing a silent meditation practice, actually what you're descending into, I would say it's more of a descending, what you're descending into is the natural state of everything that occurs, that is this natural state of bliss. And that for me is where the truth of everything is. That is where the enlightenment, that is where the awakening is. That is where we are wanting to pitch into.
That's exactly where I wanted to start, because again, what you're saying, I think is really, really fundamental.
Yeah.
It's bliss is not something that we can attain.
Yes.
Or even own or something like that. It's not something that gets added to our beingness. It's rather the opposite process. In order, bliss is the ground of our being.
Yes.
In Tantra. And
yes.
In order to let's say for a moment perceive it, to be aware of it all the time, we need to let go or get rid of that which it basically puts itself between us and that. And what puts itself in between? Well, this is our conditioning. This is the way we are conditioned to live, the way we are conditioned to live through our thoughts, through our fantasies, to think that these thoughts are us, to think us that these fantasies are us, to think that these emotions are us.
Yes.
And to basically drop into something that is completely beyond those things, and that we are, actually. And that requires basically to let go of this illusion that our thoughts are us. And in Tantra, we do this through physical practice, to radically engage with our body, because that engagement with our body will help us basically circumvent those thoughts and fall into that thoughtless state in which our natural state reveals itself, and that's bliss.
Let me talk about that for a second, because as you said right at the beginning, before I interrupted you, and what you're saying now, as you said, some of the practices we do in a introductory or preparatory level in Tantra is about, one, coming back to your breath. And that for me, in coming back to your breath, is a practice of coming back to you, your body, being present with yourself in the now. And then we layer in a ecstatic body practice, which reminds you, again, you descend, or you open up into this knowing that your body is 1,000 volts of ecstasy, even before the sexual energy has been activated. And then from that, we then bring in the orgasmic energy, bring in the sexual, the erotic energy, which starts to be built up. And, you know, we're talking for a men who loves men community. So through our cocks, we're generating sexual energy, and we're cultivating it, and we're choosing not to lose that energy. Actually, what we're doing through different practices, I'm doing my PC pump exercise here, we're transmuting that energy into the body's higher frequencies. That at some point, people open into this state of bliss. And the other thing I'm reminded of, and maybe we'll talk more about it later, is what happens to people when they actually leave a Tantra retreat with us. They go back and they just realize how blissful their life looks. And I don't know if that's a separate thing to talk about later. But what I'm going to go back to is, you're right, we're using the body as the vehicle to realize what's already there. We just lost touch with it.
Yeah, I love how you I love how you're describing this, because yeah, as you say, when we start with a practice like the ecstatic body, it feels like falling back into something that is beyond words, and that is basically your body. But we don't usually, we're not used to perceive our body like this, and from that it's a kind of perspective. And if I am in that perspective, I see all of my thoughts, all of my emotions. I perceive those from a more distant point of view. It is as if, well, the analogy that comes to mind is, all of a sudden I feel like I am the ocean, and these thoughts and emotions, they are just ripples on top of that. Whereas when I'm not in this, what we call an embodied state in Tantra, I would be in the illusion that these thoughts and these emotions are all that I am. And then, yeah, as you say, ecstatic body, I'm falling into this other perspective where I feel I am the ocean.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, as you just said, we then, it's like we are then starting to play with the energies of the ocean. So to play with the energies that are in our body. And for that, we use our sexual abilities. And we call this orgasmic practice, because it starts with the physiological orgasm. And then some really, really, really interesting things happen. The next step that then open into bliss, and I can talk much more about exactly what happens then when we
say it whilst you're here.
Okay, when we so we start to cultivate this orgasmic energy, and there is something in Tantra called the energetic body. And the idea is that apart from our physical body, we have a body that is composed of energies. It has a certain structure, it has certain channels, if you will. It has certain knots in those channels, which we usually refer to as chakras, energy centers. And when we when we really wake up the orgasmic energy, that orgasmic energy starts to flood our energetic body. Now, our energetic body is really, really subject to, let's say, conditioning. Energies during our life, you know, all these experiences that people have during their lives, throughout their biographies, emotional things that happen, traumas, belief systems, all of this will somehow, you could imagine these things are, let's say, impurities in the energetic body. Now, the orgasmic energy, when it starts to course through the energetic body, it basically shakes these impurities loose and starts to flush them out. And in that moment, and, you know, people who do multi-orgasmic practice for the same time probably know this, they actually see, often for the first time, they see what all of their conditioning has actually done to them, what all of their upbringing has done to them in terms of limiting them. They see their limitations. And in this energetic language, this is nothing else than the orgasmic energy shaking these impurities loose, and they are, so to speak, these impurities come out, and you can see them for the first time for what they are. And then there are, by really looking at them, by really making them conscious, there is a process of basically flushing them through and flushing them out of your system and seeing them for what they are. And this process then leads into recognizing what is beyond those.
I think there's one thing that occurs to me as you're talking.
Yeah.
One of the things we've often said to people is about therapy.
Yes.
Because people will sometimes arrive at Tantra with a level of problems in their life or dissatisfaction or a curiosity of wanting to know more. And, you know, what we find is that people don't realise that when they step into Tantra, all of them is stepping into Tantra, not just the part of themselves that they want to present to us, but the whole of them. All of their history is in the room.
Exactly.
All of their ancestry is in the room.
Their
everything that's happened in their whole family system is in the room. And so sometimes, often, people will stumble across something that they didn't know or that they hadn't done any work on or they didn't think was a problem. And suddenly it would become a roadblock to them being able to descend into that state of bliss because the situation or the what happened is more prevalent. It's more immediate in the mind. It's like you can't bypass that. Like we've talked about in Tantra, and I think we've talked about it in previous podcasts where we've said there's no bypassing your life. There's no bypassing all of the things that have happened. Actually, the spiritual journey is about going through all of these experiences. And for me, talking therapy is one great way to start that first part of a healing journey, which I know we've talked about in a previous podcast. And then from that, then incorporating the body, almost when the mind has caught up and when the emotional body has caught up.
Yes, it's interesting to talk about these several bodies because this process, in terms of energetic body, it would be like, okay, the energetic body is being cleansed by that orgasmic energy and these impurities, they bubble up. And this is something, by the way, that, you know, this is something very shamanic. And Tantra, with that, you know, Tantra has some shamanic elements in it. So there are shamanic traditions where the main work is on this energetic body, and they see these impurities, and they make these impurities basically bubble up and be liberated. But if you look at it from a psychological or therapeutic perspective, the corollary would be all of a sudden, in psychological language, it would be all of these elements of conditioning, they will bubble up from your subconscious and they want to be seen. They want to be made conscious.
And
that's the cleansing process if you frame it in, you know, psychological language. They want to be seen and they want to be witnessed. And then beyond there is, but that comes later, when you recognize yourself as your true nature through bliss, you don't just recognize these things and work through them psychologically, but you also recognize that on a fundamental level in your true nature, you are not those things, although they are present and they will always be present.
But I also want to say here, because I don't know if we're done with the... We've talked about bliss and we've talked about everything that gets in the way of it.
Yeah.
And we've talked about working through those things that get in the way. But that, for me, is only half of the journey. Only half of the journey is the descension into realizing the natural state of you as bliss. And once you realize that, so I was thinking, like when you were talking earlier, you know, about all the different preparatory exercises that we do, it feels like you're loading up the rocket ship. You're putting the fuel in, you're putting in all the things that you need. And then actually you then like, you know, light the ignition, and the rocket goes off into space.
Yeah.
And I wanted to, when we're done, I don't know if there's anything more to say about the first half that we're talking about, because then I think there's something about the expansion of you.
Yes, I think there's one more thing.
Okay.
You know, what people are usually surprised about in Tantra is that once you start Tantra, you... It's like your life changes from grey to full Technicolor.
Yes.
Or this other analogy that I've used, it's like all of a sudden you're getting onto the surfboard and riding the waves of life, and it feels like, wow, I'm now on the surfboard. And for all of the rest of my life before, I've actually only been sitting on the beach, but I've not been, you know, on the waves. So it feels often extreme is the wrong word, but life gets more, you feel more bliss, but at the same time there are also moments where you feel your conditioning and that what holds you back more acutely. So what I'm saying here, and I think you and me, we you know, in our journey we have experienced this a lot, is that especially in the beginning you have both things at the same time. You've got these difficult things bubbling up, wanting to be looked at, and at the same time you have these incredible glimpses of what this bliss can be like. And sometimes it's like riding waves with the ups and the downs, and so it happens. It happens all at the same time. It's like this intense kind of journey. Does that make sense for you?
It does.
Do you recognize that?
Yes. And what I want to add to that is what we've heard and what we've experienced ourselves as people's experiences of bliss.
Yes.
So I've heard and had experiences where it feels like the whole universe has opened up to you in one divine moment that is beyond, it's like the sex transmutes into bliss, and there's like this sudden understanding, like you said, that you are the ocean, that you are this infinite fountain.
Yes.
Actually, every pleasure is the natural state. Every state of love is the natural state.
Yes.
Every part of the universe, like when you look out in the stars, is you. And when people realize that they are just so much more, that they are just, that actually they're not so much more, that they are everything.
Yes.
I think that's the ultimate aim of bliss, is the understanding that you are, as an individual, you are everything, and you are interconnected with everything.
Well, this is interesting, because if you look at how the process of awakening is framed in classical tantra, which...
Yeah.
It's stuff for another podcast, but I just wanted to put on the table that awakening has several aspects. They're not separate from each other, but let's say, for the sake of explaining this state of bliss, there are several aspects, and one of those, let's say there are five aspects. And one of those aspects has to do with what you just mentioned, which is the illusion of separation.
Yeah.
The realization that there's only one thing. There is not a you, there is not another. So there's only one thing that exists. It's not even like you are that, because when you say you are that, you're still separate. But there's only one thing, and that thing is you and other, so to speak, at the same time, because there is no you and other anymore. And that, to realize this state of bliss that I'm talking about, this is one aspect of it. It's in there.
Yeah.
And then, apart from that, what you just said, I found really, really interesting, is the emotional aspect of this whole bliss thing. We usually talk about bliss, but this, you know, in conventional thinking, we usually say bliss, the word bliss equals happiness.
Yeah.
But actually, it's much, much, much more complicated. Bliss is an all-encompassing, let's call it emotion, that contains so, so, so many other emotions. For me, bliss is, yes, happiness comes along with it, but there is also
love.
There is a feeling of all-encompassing consciousness. There's a feeling of truth, that this is really that which is more real than anything else. And I think, you know, there's this word in Hinduism about Satchit Ananda to describe this. And that again is put together of several words. It means truth, consciousness, bliss. And so this is it's a compound of several aspects, but for me personally, in my experience, bliss is not, it's not that much an emotion. It's more like a light bulb being switched on, a very, very, very bright light bulb that illuminates everything. And this illumination comes with the realization of a vastness that you're not separate from. And that realization, in which everything is more real than real, all these emotions of absolute love, absolute happiness, they arise too. Does that make sense?
It does. And the bit I want to add on to that, because I don't think we're saying that strongly enough, is once you have experiences of that, actually what you want to be doing is becoming that, or realizing, or letting the way that you operate in the world come from that part of you. And it's almost like you're integrating that, or you're welcoming that part in you to have a larger and larger space, so that the habit of you, or the ego of you, or the you that functions actually takes much more of a backseat, to a point where that doesn't exist anymore. Because there's something in this part of the journey that is like about, and it may be scary for some people, because you're being invited to surrender what you think is you. You're being asked to let go of what you think you are and the identity of you. And for some people, that can be really, really scary.
I think this has a lot to do with this state being... this beingness is completely beyond the categories that we usually perceive things in.
Yeah.
First of all, it's completely beyond language.
Yeah.
It's something that is literally indescribable. It somehow, it blows your mind because it can't be put in words.
And it's not coming from the mind.
Exactly.
It's beyond the mind.
And it's not just beyond... Well, it's beyond the mind if we define mind here. Let's define mind as your analytic mind.
Your thoughts.
It's completely beyond that. So, A, it's beyond language, beyond that which is thinkable. But it's also timeless. And it's also... beyond, it's also not local. It's always there, and it's always so, so, so close. But it doesn't have like a location or something like that. So it's really something, because it's so beyond all of these categories that we are usually used to perceive the world in, it's something that, that is quite challenging. I find in a certain kind of way.
Yes, but I would also argue that through the practice of Tantra, it is much more easily accessible.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, when we talk about and when we teach tantric sex, actually for me, one of the goals or one of the objectives of tantric sex is to realize that infinite possibility of you as bliss, co-created, co-shared with another individual, that actually in the actions that you're doing in the body, that you're doing in the energy, that you're clearing out your psyche, all of that is taking you onto this realization of who you really are. And even just the realization of that is the first step.
Yes.
Because there's an infinite possibility and exploration and experiences that are way beyond just that first realization. And there's something for me in the practice of Tantra about bringing yourself back to this state of bliss through different tantric practices, maybe through different layers, and then starting to journey in that bliss. The mistake that I see is that people have that experience of bliss and they think they've attained it all, and that's all that Tantra's got to show them. And that for me is a grave error, because the very practice that could take you into those states so quickly are the same practices that can propel you forward in that journey.
This is super, super important. So let's talk about, you know, these, someone comes to Tantra, okay? Like someone comes to study with us and we do all these practices. We have them scream in orgasm. We have them do certain things with their orgasmic energy. We do ecstatic body work. We do all these kinds of things. And the idea, what these exercises are for, is to trigger a direct experience of this bliss. And this is what we call glimpse, okay? But these experiences, they're usually, people usually experiencing them, they experience them as peak experience. Because this is, for most people, this is something that they have never had access to. So when this comes in, people are like completely wowed. Usually in two ways. One, in like, wow, this is amazing. But at the same time, they might feel challenged as well. And that's for this reason, that the experience that comes in is totally beyond language. It's totally timeless and totally without any locality. But for example, if an experience comes in and all of a sudden you experience yourself as timeless or as infinite, then the challenging bit is, then who the fuck am I? Then who, what is my biography? We are used to, you know, we are used to see ourselves as beings that have a biography. Biography happens in conventional time, and it happens in conventional space, and it is, let's say, constructed, mediated through language. And this experience that we are talking about now, that is triggered through through tantric practice, is completely beyond that. So people usually perceive it as wow, but at the same time as what the hell? What do I even do with this? But once you, and this dear reader, if you have studied with us and experienced this, you know what this is like. And for me, it was like this when I experienced this for the first time. It's like, wow, if this is possible in this life, I really, really want to have more of this, and I want to go deeper into that, and I want to study this. And then after this first glimpse, and you know, it's usually easy to tell if a person has had first glimpse already or if they haven't. But if they have had this, then usually there is this recognition that, yeah, I want to be on a spiritual path. And I want to be likely on this spiritual path, because this is what brought me there in the first place.
But also that spiritual path, again, it's, there is nothing, there's not somewhere that you get to. There's not a destination.
No.
Actually, it's a way of integrating how you're being in your day-to-day, in the way that you experience the world. I think the other thing we should be saying here is that the practice of Tantra, yes, it does take you into an otherworldliness. And I know that, like, when we teach like a weekend workshop or we teach like a retreat, time for us and for the participants, it's like we're in another dimension. I feel like I'm going to break into a Rocky Horror song, but we break into another dimension where time seems to speed up, and what we thought was 10 minutes is actually an hour, or what we thought was, you know, 1 hour is actually been 4 or 5 hours. So there's something about this dimension. If I was talking about bliss as a dimension,
yeah,
actually it operates, its time is much quicker. And that's another experience to know that you are in a blissful state. But the other thing I want to say is, when you then look at the world, and when you look at people around you, and when you look at love, and you look at how the world is, it takes on an other qualityness where you can see bliss, you can see love in everything, mm-hmm. you can see compassion. You know, when you see people acting in a certain way, actually, rather than judging them or criticizing them, you can start to entertain different possibilities of not even being in a judgment of them, but just to love them and just to love yourself and just to bring compassion without needing to make them okay. It's like, how can you continue to be the state of love to everything, regardless of what the world is giving you? How do you sustain this bliss, this love, to a point where it becomes a permanent anchor or a permanent fixture inside of you? That actually, that's the place that you're operating from on a day-to-day basis.
That is exactly the big question in Tantra and on the spiritual path.
Yes.
I would say, as a Tantra teacher, I would say it's actually relatively easy to help someone in practice to trigger one of these peak experiences.
Yeah.
But then all peak experiences are not the real thing. They're
yes.
just a glimpse. They
yes.
are transient. They have a beginning and an end. But the important thing that you just mentioned is, when you come out of one of those peak experiences, it feels as if a straitjacket was put back onto you.
Yeah.
The straitjacket of your conditioning,
yeah.
your normal way of being. And you feel actually you're being taken away from a deeper truth.
Yes.
And then the question is, as you say, How can I basically deconstruct this straitjacket?
Mm.
How can I deconstruct myself in a way that I can constantly live in the realization of that state that I experienced as a glimpse? And that's then the spiritual path, and that's going to take the rest of your life and to deconstruct yourself. It literally takes the rest of your life, and this is where the hard work actually begins. And as you said, I love the way you mention love and compassion, because that's part of the practice from then. There are many ways to undo the straitjacket, but love and compassion, tantric practices that have to do with love and compassion,
yeah.
they're one way to do this. But you're gonna, once you have, what I'm saying is, relatively easy to have that glimpse. Study Tantra with us, and you will have that at some point. But then you're basically fucked for the rest of your life, because then you know that if this is possible, what do I need to do to reside in this, to awaken.
Well, and
to
I also think this is where we split the wheat from the chaff.
Yeah.
Because there's some people that arrive at the door of Tantra thinking that they want a spiritual journey, and maybe not fully understanding what that means. You know, a spiritual journey, every single spiritual practice is about the dissolution of you as you identify and awakening to a bigger truth of you that is all-encompassing. And, you know, along that journey, certain people will, what should you say, run for the hills.
Yes.
when they realize, when we start to really, things are being touched, that are being called up to be looked at, that are being called up to be let go of. And the other thing I would say here is, in terms of bliss as a spiritual journey, often people will come and do it in chunks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, how many times in Go have we had people return where they've had like a year's gap, And they're like, oh, actually, I'm ready to continue a little bit more. I'm ready to do a bit more of this journey. I'm willing to commit. Because the intensity of the practice of Tantra takes people months to integrate. Like, we've just done, haven't we, this time of recording.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We've just done
just 2 weeks ago.
Healing and surrender. I know that the people that participated in that week, it's going to take them 3 months to even feel like they've landed from that week.
Yes, and it will take them a lot, this realization, to really realize what they have uncovered within themselves takes a very, very long time to almost to, for your conventional consciousness, let's say conventional state of being, for that to realize that all of a sudden there is something else, all of a sudden there is something a lot bigger in my system. And that takes a while to really trickle through. And then usually at some point they then realize, oh, well, I need to get my skates on and work on this more diligently. And that's then, at that point, there is this question, do I really want to pursue the spiritual path, or do I want to go back to my conventional way of being?
Well, but I also wonder how much choice people actually have over that.
Yeah, less than you think.
Because you say as if that's a mental
it's
choice,
not a choice
that people have, but also people's energy systems can only cope with so much. And I think also there's something about not being goal-orientated. Like, the way we describe it here sounds like a linear path. But actually, there's many things happening at the same time in contradiction to each other. For example, this last week that we just did, we didn't say to people, you're going to experience bliss. But bliss came about through the practices that we did and the spiritual inquiry, that the work that we did, where we did a lot of dissolution of stuff that gets in the way of the natural state, and then that bliss just kind of naturally arises. It's there, you know, as people are leaving on the last day, people are going home, people are, you know, emotionally, physically, energetically moved through doing a week's intensive practice of Tantra.
Yes, I completely agree with you in one thing, is from a real tantric viewpoint, there's no choice at all.
Yeah.
If the spiritual path finds you, the breakthroughs find you, there's no choice in that.
Yeah.
But there are things that look like a choice.
Yes.
For example, you might have had this experience of bliss and then you come back and you realize that you've got so much psychological stuff to work through. And then the seeming choice is, do I go on this path, for example, of putting myself in therapy to work through certain things that I might not have looked at before? Do I do that? Or do I go back to, sometimes there's a lot of inertia in people's system. They just go back to their everyday life and the door closes again. This is not something they have the choice over, because different forces are at work here. It's not conscious, but what we see is that some people then seemingly take the invitation and to work for to really go onto a spiritual path, and some others fall back into the lull of their life as it was before. You know,
Inga.
Yeah,
we're at that time where we need to summarize. I feel like we could. In danger of opening up another great discussion about this.
Yeah.
But essentially what we've talked about today is the state of bliss as something that you realize, or you descend into, or that you realize was always there through practicing Tantra. And actually the practice of Tantra through the physical body is the fastest path of getting there, if there is any place to be. And that along that journey, you're going to be invited or need to work through everything that's getting in the way of that. And that, you know, bliss is the natural state of everything before anything else.
Exactly. You couldn't have said it any better.
Well, was that a good summary?
Yes.
Listen, let's just talk a little bit. We, at this time of recording, have just launched all of our 2025
yes.
programme. And oh my God, have we got a feast for you. So dear listeners, if you're listening and you're attracted to what we're talking about, then please do come and join us. We start our 2025 events in May, first with a weekend in London, Tantric BDSM for Men. So really looking at surrender, looking at the divine feminine, looking at bliss through practices of BDSM.
Then in mid-June, we are for a deep dive retreat in upstate New York. That's part of our diploma, and it's called Birth, Sex and Death. So it's really looking at these really big topics through tantric practice. And if you wanna go deeper, that one, that is highly recommended.
And then we're doing that again?
The same Birth, Sex and Death, the same module again 3 weeks later, other side of the pond in the UK, mid-July.
In sacred landscape of Glastonbury.
Yes.
And then at the end of July, I'm doing a 2-day ultimate tantric massage in London, which is just a great pleasure journey of your body. Just be an amazing weekend.
This is then followed by our yearly festival.
Can we use the word international?
Yes, our international
tantra. We've got
international
teachers coming.
Our international tantra love festival.
Yes.
Last weekend of August, again in Glastonbury. And that is where all the community comes together, celebration, almost 40 workshops that you can pick and choose from to dip your toe in and experience different aspects of tantra. This is highly recommended if you are new to this.
I say, was it 120 men?
Yes.
Experiencing love as they've never done before.
Mm-hmm.
And then going then to the last weekend of September, I'm going to do a little road trip through the USA. I'm going to be doing a spiritual dimensions of orgasm in Boston, Massachusetts. And then the weekend after is the brother event to the Tantra Love Festival, the Tantra Love Experience in upstate New York. 55 men over 5 days, a team of 4 different international teachers, really interesting program, like the Love Festival. And then after that, I'm going to be in Fort Lauderdale, doing another BDSM weekend for men. Then the following weekend is Palm Springs, where we're going to be looking at tantric sex. And then the last weekend on my tour is going to be in San Francisco, again doing a BDSM weekend for men.
And then coming back to the UK, our last retreat. We've got 2 more. We've got 1 weekend in London, which is, what topic is
that
it?
That is tantric sex, you and I.
Tantric sex, this
together.
Is in November, that's both Jason and me teaching it. And then last but not least, in mid-November, we've got in Glastonbury another deep dive retreat, which is called, actually, The Divinity of Bliss.
It is.
And that is another one that is highly recommended.
I'm really excited about next year's program. I think, hopefully, we've pulled off a masterpiece of different choices and locations, and it's going to be a really, really good year.
What else is there left to say?
It's to
join
say,
us. Join us for something. Get to know us. Try us out. And see if this works for you. What I can really promise you is that as you enter into this path, you're entering into a path of joy, and as you enter into the classroom with us, you enter a community that is quite amazing, and lifelong friendships as well.
Ingo, you've been amazing. I've been amazing. It's been a joy to share this podcast with you today.
Absolutely.
Thank you, my love.
Thank you,
my... The next podcast we are talking about boundaries. It sounds a bit trite, but actually it's a really interesting topic. We're talking about boundaries, and do I need to have sex with everybody in Tantra is the question that we're going to be dealing with in episode 24. Okay, see you there. Lots of love to you, my darling.
Bye, dear listener. See you next time.
Take care. You're meant to
bye,
say,
my darling.
You meant to, yeah, that's, you meant to say love to me.
Bye, Jason.
Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.